Glad to be back. Now, those of you in today's sermon ought to be really well prepared for it because you studied the verses last time I was here in the back. That's what happens when you do more than one bulletin at a time. But we had a real good time in Hawaii, but we missed being here. So good to be away, good to be back. Thankful to be back. I understand Dan did a great job for me, and I appreciate it. Appreciate all the filling in. And it's great to know that this is a church body, and when I leave for a while, it can go on just fine because Jesus Christ is the head of it, not me. So we're continuing with how to be a priest. That's what the whole thing, the whole theme of 1 Peter is, how to be a priest of Jesus Christ. He is our high priest, it says in Hebrews. And we're going to see next week, or actually about 3 weeks now, because there's something coming up in a couple of weeks on a Tuesday, isn't there? Yeah. Anyone got any phone calls on that or anything? So, we'll be talking about that, but after that, we'll see we're a royal priesthood. How many of you feel like you're royalty? If you're saved, you are. Because you are a joint heir of Jesus Christ, the most rich eternal kingdom of all. But as a priest, in the Aaronic priesthood, you had to be born into it. You had to be born a son of Aaron to become a priest. You couldn't just say, you know, I'm looking for jobs. Let's see, I can be a pilot, I can be a chariot driver, I can be a window washer, I can be a priest. I think I'll be a priest. You couldn't do that. You had to be born into the priesthood. You had to be a child of Aaron, or in his line. Well, once that happened, okay, he's going to be a priest. But he's not ready for it. No, you didn't see any babies as priests. They're born into it, then they be prepared. Now, a new baby is fascinated by everything he sees. Just you can see the wonder in his eyes. You can see everything he sees, some new discovery. Experiencing new sights, new smells, new sounds. They're always looking and always joyful at those things. It is said that a new child will learn more in his first 2 years of life than he will learn for the rest of his life. We think of all the people who do so many amazing things out there, who are doctors in some college or something like that. They've learned so much. They actually learn more in those first 2 years than they'll learn in any college ever because they are experiencing this new world. Now, growing, a child lacks a proper understanding of how to be safe in this world. His father is responsible to teach the young child to grow up to be a responsible adult. As a child grows physically, his character must be led to match it spiritually, mentally. All this is why priests could not take their job until they're 25 years old. No, I'm born. I'm a brand new babe. I'm a priest. They know I'm going to be. No question about it. But I couldn't take that position until I turned 25. Once I turned 25, then I would be put into the priesthood. Until that time, my father would be directing me how to. I'd be observing him. I'd be understanding what he did. He'd be teaching me of the reason they do things. I would grow spiritually, I would grow mentally, and then I would take my position. Now, as a proper priest of our high priest, Jesus Christ, once again, we are born into that family. We are born into our position. Being born again, we should have the same wonder, the same awe, the same a new understanding every day of this new life that we have been born into. Learning a proper understanding of our new spiritual life, our spiritual life continues to grow as we mature. Our Heavenly Father now teaches us through His Word. He corrects us. He chastises us. He shows us the purpose of why we are selected into this new position. He will prepare us to whatever calling that we as a priest under our High Priest Jesus Christ will have. He'll do it with his Bible, with preaching, with friends, with everything that he has through the Spirit enlightening us of how to live this new life. Let's look at how a priest of Jesus Christ matures into his calling. Last time we talked about being born into it. Now he's maturing. He's a child. And we see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We'll read to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have given us the gospel of Jesus Christ. You revealed your Son in these last times to show us the Father, to show us the way to the Father. For we know that without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Without the shedding of blood for our sins, our payment would be with us, and we would suffer in eternity in hell. But Lord, in your love, you sent your Son, born of a woman, made sin for us, that he could take our penalty on the cross, that we could then accept that blood, accept that as payment for my sins, that we may then be adopted into your family, and we may be priests under the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ. And Lord, there is nothing in us to offer. We know our condition is poor, worthless sinners, bound for hell, but you have given us such a high position, Lord, a holy position, a holy priesthood. Let us learn how to live our position, Lord. Guide us, teach us, direct us, and show us by your word the great glory that you have prepared for every one of us. And let us have fear of failing, knowing what has been given us. And let us learn how to live it, Lord. And let us not be worried about chastening of the Lord, for we know it is for our good that we may serve you all the better. As we look at your word more, Lord, let us just in awe stare at what you've given us. We ask in your precious Son's dear name, amen. Now, those of you who had babies know that they have a certain desire for milk. If you see a baby that gets hungry, what does it do? It cries. And it's going to continue to cry until you give it that milk. You tell it, we don't have any here, be quiet, we'll get it later. Does that baby accept that? It'll cry louder. It'll cry longer. It'll cry stronger. And it continues to cry because it desires that milk. In its eyes, that is the only thing important to that baby at the time. A great picture of how we should desire the gospel teachings of Jesus Christ. Wanting it so much that we will cry if it is restrained from us. Wanting it so much that we rush to the Bible and get the milk of the gospel to learn about Jesus Christ. Caring more about it than anything else in the world. Tell a baby to stop crying that there may be danger. He'll cry all the more until he gets that milk. We should put the gospel in the same emphasis, putting it in front of absolutely everything else. No matter what it is, that is the most important thing in our lives. Babies show full satisfaction when they've had their milk, just as we should do when we open up the gospel and read it and see the love of Christ, see what he's done for us. We get that milk of the gospel, we understand the love he's given us, and we are fully satisfied by it. Nothing else in the world will satisfy it. Just like a baby, nothing else will satisfy that baby except the milk that the mother will give it. Upon salvation, John 6:35 says we receive the bread of life and the living water. where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and that he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, we see here in verse 51 in John chapter 6, he says, eat it and you will have eternal life. But it's not enough. You have the eternal life, but you need the milk, you need the meat of the doctrine later. As a babe, drink the milk of the gospel to learn of him, to learn the love of Christ, to learn the beauty of Jesus Christ, to learn who he is, why he came to earth, and how you can be adopted as a son of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Then, after that, you become mature. You are ready to then take the meat of gospel, the meat of doctrine, and learn how to live that position that he has placed you in. Desire the milk to learn that the Lord is gracious. And then you want more and more of it, to see his grace working through you, that you can then be an efficient and effective priest under our high priest, Jesus Christ. And then crying if it's held back from you, because you want the word so badly. Today we learn of growing from a babe as you learn to mature to take your place as a priest for Jesus Christ. Children are selfish and out of control. Anyone doubt that? Anyone who's had a two-year-old already knows the answer to that. Teenagers sometimes also. Fathers teach them how to grow and to live as proper adults. Babes in Christ have absolutely no idea how to live. We can't expect them to understand the full impact of doctrine. They have no idea. That's why they're called babes in Christ. God uses the terms very specifically for very important reasons. Our Heavenly Father feeds us milk so we can learn of him, drawing us to him that we can learn that he is love and we can love him, allowing us to abide in him that he will then abide in us. He teaches us then to become spiritually mature. Seeing our spiritual heritage, we learn to leave this world and live for him. What's important in this world? Absolutely nothing except the fact that God created it for us to learn of him. That is what our focus needs to be. Now, this world's going to be destroyed. This world will be taken in fire. We'll have a new heaven and a new earth. And if you're saved, a child of God, you will be part of it. If you're not, you'll be burned up with it in eternal hell. So that is the focus we need to put on it. So, becoming a priest of Jesus Christ, you need to learn three things. First of all, self-control. Mary says, I still don't have it, but I'm working on it. Then holiness, and then our heritage. So, self-control. That's the very first thing a child must learn. If a child does not have self-control, it can't learn anything else. David said in Psalm 51:5 that he was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did his mother conceive him. Guess what? That's our heritage also. Every one of us is the same way. It's a common plight to all men. All of us are born children of the devil. All of us serve our flesh as Satan calls us to do. Well, as a new child is spiritually born of God, we need to learn obedience. We need to learn self-control. We need to learn how to put our lives in control and in control of the Bible, which is the Word of God. As a newborn babe, we must be taught. Guess what teaches us? Right here. Teaches us with faithful teachers explaining it to us. Teaching us of the one who saved us and loving him as a newborn babe loves his father. Romans 7 shows us that we all tend to be disobedient children. As Paul said in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's difficult for us. It's difficult for children. Some children know right from wrong. As they grow, they do. But they still want to do the wrong. They chase after whatever it is they think that will make them happy at the time. All of us tend to be disobedient children, just like Paul did. To be holy, we must gird up the loins of our mind. Now, what does that mean, girding up the loins of our mind? You know, I don't wear flowing robes. They did in Bible times. Now, if you go into battle with flowing robes, you might trip over them. They'll get in your way. It might be something that the enemy can grab. So they would gird up those. They take those robes, they tie them in there, so they almost look like pants. The reason being, they could move more freely. They weren't going to be trapped, and they were going to be ready for battle. We need to gird up the loins of our mind because we're in battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Satan wants to take us down. Satan will put all kinds of temptations out there. God lets them do it. Why? So we can learn how to be effective priests. We can learn how to be in the battle. We can learn how to defeat the wiles of the devil. To learn obedience, once again, we need to gird up those loins to understand that we are in a war. Our Father does not leave us helpless, but teaches us how to have obedience as we learn to play war as children. You know, they can't do that anymore. How many of you, when you were growing up, played war? Well, that's exactly what we do as children. You know, a priest couldn't become a priest until he was 25 years old. Until then, he might play priest. He might do things to imitate his father. But he wasn't going to be a priest because he didn't understand it. But as he played, he'd understand more. Well, we play war for a while until God puts us actually in the battle. Our Heavenly Father is a perfect Father. He gave us an example how to live. Jesus Christ was born to reveal God to man and to show us how to be a perfect Son of God. Then, after we fail in that example, he chastens us to refocus us from serving Satan in our flesh to serving him in the Spirit. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 13. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. With Paul, we fail to do what is good and tend to do what is sinful. He chastises us to bring him back, put our focus back on Jesus Christ for our joy. We run into the world streets as toddlers are wont to do. He chastens us to bring us back to the straight and narrow sidewalks where his safety and his holiness resides. Now, is it love to not chasten a child when it runs into the street chasing a ball? It's love to chasten that child, to spank that child, so he won't do it again and won't be run over by the Mack truck. That's exactly what God does with us. He chastens us for our own good. We go out into the world streets, chastens us to bring us back into the safety of his sidewalks and his holiness. Now, do you think obedience is an easy thing to learn? How many of you are fully obedient? I haven't learned it either. Guess what? Our high priest had to learn it. Turn back a few pages to Hebrews 5, verses 5 to 10. So let's learn of our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I don't understand the full import of these verses. I really don't. But we see that Jesus Christ had to learn obedience. If Jesus Christ had to learn obedience, you not think that maybe you need to do the same thing? He was perfect. He was the Son of God. And yet it says there, he learned obedience by the suffering he had. We must suffer the same way that we may learn obedience. Galatians 3, 19 to 29 shows us that the law was given us to teach us as a schoolmaster. It taught us obedience is necessary and will bring us to Jesus for salvation. We're no longer under the schoolmaster as we grow in grace. We put on Jesus Christ and grow into his holiness. So that's the next thing we do learn. We go from self-control and obedience. Once we do that, then we can start growing into holiness. I'm not there yet. I won't be there until I'm in heaven with a glorified body. But we all learn holiness as we go along with continual sanctification. As an adopted son, we must learn to live in our Father's house. Now it says he's holy. That's why we need to be holy, because we are sons of the Most High God. Learning obedience as a child, we then use this as a foundation to be holy as a priest of our High Priest Jesus Christ. Going from lusting after fleshly sins to serving the holiness of God. Learning how to follow, as 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A pure heart is a holy heart, a heart that puts God in front of every one of their needs and every one of their desires. God becomes first in their lives. You do that, you'll be holy. Growing and coming to our calling as a priest, we learn how to move from the flesh of Romans 7 to the holiness of Romans chapter 8. As Romans 8, 5 through 6 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A priest under Aaron was known as he put on his priestly garb. You can tell a priest right away. If you look in Ezekiel, you look in Exodus, you look at the places where it talked about the priests, you could see what a priest is. I could see them from a mile away. They had specific garb they put on. And when they put on their priestly garbs, people would come to them knowing they were priests. Guess what? Colossians 3:10 says, when you become saved, you put on Jesus Christ. You should be known by your priestly garb. You no longer wear the robes of the flesh. You have put on Jesus Christ, and people should recognize that. They should recognize you as a Christian by your act, by your testimony, and everything else. That doesn't make you saved, but it shows others that they can approach you as a priest of Jesus Christ because you bring the temple to them. We spend time sojourning in fear, it says. Not in the dreadful fear of judgment, as Hebrews 10:31 says of sinners, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Those who are sinners will fall into those hands, and they will receive the just judgment and go into an eternity of hell, standing they deserve it. But in this case, it's a reverent fear of disappointing our Heavenly Father, and a fear of being cast away as useless limb. Failing as a priest and coming to the Bema seat with nothing to show but wood, hay, and stubble. Now, as priests of holiness, we are to give sacrifices. Talked about that last time I was here. We sacrifice constantly for our sins, humbling ourselves to repent and ask forgiveness. In holiness, hating sin as God hates sin. I sin every day. I still have the flesh around me. If Paul sinned in Romans 7, believe me, I'm no Paul. And if he had problems with it, I'm going to have problems with it. So, the difference is, I hate it. I see it and I hate it. I want to repent from it, I want to turn from it. And I do everything I can to do it. So I ask God to forgive me, and ask others to forgive me when I fail them, ensuring that we show that we hate sin and hypocrisy. We hate sin as Billy Sunday hates sin, and we need to go and act like Billy Sunday did. Billy Sunday, the baseball evangelist and reformer, never spared himself nor those he wanted to help in the vigor of his attacks on sin. He thundered against evil from the gay 90s through the Great Depression. He preached Christ as the only answer to man's needs until his death in 1935. I'm against sin, he said. I'll kick it as long as I've got a foot. And I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist. I'll butt it as long as I have a head. I'll bite it as long as I have a tooth. When I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home into glory. and it goes home to perdition. That should be our attitude towards sin. Oh, that we had preachers preaching that today, hating sin and wanting to turn from it. That's what we need to see. And if you want to be a priest of Jesus Christ, that's what you need to do. You need to hate that sin as he hates that sin and fight against it with every fiber of your body. You will fail. But when you fail, you go to God, you ask forgiveness, you get back up, and you keep serving. How do we know that we're ready for the priesthood? Well, verse 22 tells us, our souls are purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and makes it possible to show Christ's love to others, loving one another with a pure heart fervently. When you can show that love to others, now every one of you get aggravated with everyone else in here at some times, because that's just the way humans are. I'm sure all of you get aggravated at me quite often. My wife does constantly. But the whole thing is, love goes over that, sees past it, and builds each other up and wants to show them as more important than yourself. So, we see holiness, showing Christ's love to others. Now we see our heritage. We are born again as sinners, bring absolutely nothing to the table. I can offer God absolutely nothing. That's why it's a gift. You know, I can't say, boy, you're so lucky. You know, I'm going to be pastor of Berean Baptist Church. You're just lucky you saved me. I'm going to make this church successful. If I come with that attitude, this church's not going to be successful. We come to the table with absolutely nothing. And he gives us the gift of life, gift us of eternal life, because we understand that. We have to have his blood shed for us. Otherwise, we can't have salvation. Once we do that, once we show our need for our Savior, once we show our need for that blood shed on our behalf, then we become adopted by God. We can become joint heirs of the Most High God, who is God and gave his Son's life to redeem us. That's a heck of a heritage. That's a position that I will never really attain to. It's a position I'm given. That does not match my condition. My condition is a hell-bound sinner. My position is a son of the Most High God. Our job as priests is to do everything we can to grow into that position and bring others to do the exact same thing. This world focuses on silver and gold for value. How many of you own a TV set? How many of you have seen commercials on gold that we need to buy it because the economy is falling apart? So, the world understands the value of gold and silver. Gold and silver have been storehouses of value since the world has been created. Gold and silver, man's worry becomes man's idea of redemption through vain conversation and other traditions of men. False redemption is talked about in Colossians 2:8. Because lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. People see the value of silver and gold. Why do you think the prosperity gospel is so popular? You know, all silver and gold you want. People understand the value of silver and gold. Our redemption is far more valuable than every piece of gold on this planet. We worship the creator of the silver and gold. He who shed his blood as a lamb without spot. As he is eternal, my redemption is eternal. It's promised by the word of God and is not by corruptible silver, gold, or person, but by the incorruptible blood of Christ as written in the incorruptible word of God. Silver and gold will be destroyed when this world is destroyed. Word of God is eternal and will still be perfect when a new heaven and new earth are populated only by his faithful followers. This will stand for all eternity. The silver and gold that you have in your bank account, they're not going to. The world is like flesh, which withers and passes away, I talked about in our verses today. Someone may offer another way of salvation relying on tradition, gold, or silver, but it is corruptible. That salvation would end when the payment of our redemption ended, when all the world is destroyed, all the gold and silver burned up in this world that we have today. No longer do you have that payment of redemption. If you relied on that, it would be gone at that point. We need something eternal if we want eternal life. That's what the blood of Christ gives us. Our eternal word shows the simplicity of Christ in redemption. Romans 3:23, For all sin to come short of the glory of God. That's every one of you. Hate to say it, you're all sinners. Join the club. Romans 6:23 tells us that Paul had a problem with that. The wages of sin is death. We have a righteous God. He will pay those wages. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's something important about that because Romans 6:23 ends. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've earned my wages. Those wages will get paid, period, because I have a righteous God. And a righteous God will pay everything I've earned. But he put those wages on the cross. When he put those wages on the cross, Jesus Christ took them and gave me his righteousness. Best gift ever, the best trade of all time. How do I get that? Romans 10:9 shows us salvation from these facts. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A free gift based on our Creator God eternally redeeming us. That is what I rely on. It's eternal, it's in his word, and it will last. Everything else, every plan they have, every explanation they have will die when the world dies. This will last forever. That is what we need, what we need to teach, and what a priest is to show the world. As priests of Jesus, we must avoid the former lives of our lustful flesh. Christ died as our ultimate sacrifice, serving us for our salvation. We need to do the same thing for others. Avoid all fleshly, sinful, and corruptible ways. We are sons of the Most High God, priests of Jesus Christ. Learn to live like it. We have a high calling. High calling requires high responsibility. Has high rewards, but with those high rewards comes high expectations. We need to learn to live like it and expect to be corrected when we don't. So, as we continue in this study, we see that when we are saved, we are adopted into the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We are born into our position. As a newborn babe, spiritually, our new Heavenly Father teaches us self-control, demanding obedience as he should, and chastising us to keep us on the straight and narrow when we fail. If he didn't do that, he wouldn't love us. If he didn't do that, he'd let us run out in the street to be run over by a Mack truck. But he chastises us to keep us on the straight and narrow that we may learn to live our position. As we grow in grace, we recognize our position as a true son of God. Eternal, as we are redeemed eternally. Focused on him, we reflect God's love as we show that love to the brethren and even to our enemies. Loving him who redeemed us, we mature from the milk that we cried for and only satisfied when we are filled with the milk of the gospel, showing his love to us and understand that gospel so that we can then share it with others who want that same milk, who need that same milk. Being satisfied with the milk of the gospel, we then mature and go to the meat of doctrine that we can learn to take our position as priests. For those of us who have matured in the faith, Jesus has placed us as priests under Jesus Christ, as under the order of Melchizedek. As priests, once again, we bring the temple to the world because our high priest lives within us. As a priest, we sacrifice to the Most High God with praise, lives, good, and obedience. Looks like my battery might be dying. As priests, it's important to remember our heritage. Eternal sons of God, given an eternal priesthood and glory. We'll serve him forevermore. We are a priest under the order of Melchizedek, under our high priest, Jesus Christ. Understand that heritage. Focus on the beauty of Christ. With such a focus, you can learn that self-control. You can make it so that your spirit will overpower your flesh with that obedience to that self-control. As you learn obedience, you can move to holiness as you put on Jesus Christ. You'll never be there successfully fully because we all have fleshly concerns. Those fleshly concerns can overpower our spirit. But we need to recognize when that happens. And when we fall, we go back to our high priest, ask forgiveness, and he puts us back in that position. Your priesthood is wherever Jesus places you. Work for him in spirit and truth. Your labor will not be in vain. Now, once again, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm no better than anybody else here. I'm a worthless person going to hell. And yet Jesus Christ pulled me out of that fire, died on the cross for me, and then made me a joint heir of him. I'm a part owner of heaven. I'm a prince of God, and I will dwell with him forever. Every one of you are the same way. Understand that, learn it, and then you can have that focus that'll make it so that you can live for him. And with that, and I forgot.
In God's kingdom, there are joint heirs of Jesus Christ, children of the Most High God. That's all there is. We need to understand that position, the great position he's given us. If you haven't accepted that, you're a hellbound sinner. There's nothing else I can do about that. But if you go to the cross, accept that blood shed for your sins, you also then are born into the priesthood under Jesus Christ. If nobody here has done that yet, I beg you today, make that decision. We look at the time, it's short. He could return back before I finish this sentence. Everything is there. Make that decision today. Because there's only two solutions for you. Your condition is a hellbound sinner. But once you accept that blood, he makes your position a child of the Most High God. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, ask yourself, first of all, have I accepted that? Then, if you can say yes to that, then ask, am I learning how to live that position? And if you haven't been, you've been worried about the flesh too much, commit to God today to do what it takes to live that position. And after that, I'll close this in prayer, and we'll go eat. Heavenly Father, we look with amazement on your love for us. We look at amazement as your poor fallen race, all choosing to follow after Satan, all turning their back on you, all becoming hellbound sinners, and yet you wouldn't let us die there. You sent your son to take our penalty. You sent your son to take the payment for our sins, to die on that cross, to shed his blood. He took my death, and Lord, that is the only thing I can rely on for salvation. There is nothing else. And Lord, thankful for the fact that you sent your son to die on the cross, to take away the sins of man, to pay for the debt of our sin against a holy and righteous God. And once we do that, Lord, we're not only saved from hell, but you adopt us as true sons of God, as joint heirs of Jesus Christ. The position is more than I can fathom. The position is more than I can comprehend. Help me, Lord, with everyone else here, to learn of your great glory through the milk of the gospel. Then help us to understand the meat of doctrine that we can teach others about the kingdom, that we can draw others for your glory, for your praise, for your honor. And let us learn how to live a holy life, Lord, that we may draw the other hellbound sinners out of this world and into your glorious kingdom. And Lord, when we fail, when we fall, help us to see our sin as Billy Sunday saw his sin, and help us to be disgusted by it, that we may then go to God, ask forgiveness, get back up and serve you. Lord, we're just so thankful for everything you do for us every single day. Let us return just a little bit of what you've done for us through our sacrifice, through what we need to do for you. We ask in your precious son's dear name. Amen.